Jim Phillips again, continuing on this second hour of our program today with Prepare Without Fear. Before the break, we were talking about these vermin that can get into things and contaminate them. Mice being the worst one of all in a way, because these little guys, they're really, really small. I mean, they can crawl through tiny little cracks and crevices as long as it is as big as the skull of a mouse, and a mouse's skull is not very big because there's a lot of fur that sticks out on them, and their ears do. They can get their skull through it. They can get through anything. So holes that are no bigger than a half inch is very easy for them to get through, and then come in and crawl around in cabinets. They're just looking for something to eat. They're trying to eat and set up a housekeeping someplace, so they'll get in your cabinets and your countertops and back around in behind things, looking for things to eat and chew on, leaving their droppings behind, and it's a very serious problem. This is where you'd want to have, of course, sanitizers. If you've had a mouse problem, then you want to have sanitizers that you can wash things down and keep it clean. But part of it is keeping them out. Well, and same thing with rats. They just can't get through quite a small hole, but rats, you have exactly the same problem. The mice and all their varieties and the voles and those little guys, you need to prevent them from coming in by having things sealed up. If you have a house that's sealed up well right now and it hasn't been damaged, you probably won't have too many of them come in. But have on hand traps. They can be the mechanical traps, the snap traps. You can bait those traps, of course, and then catch those mice. And this is a good place to have your little disposable gloves when you're carrying out the mouse trap, rat trap with one of these dead guys in it. There may be fluids that leak out of them, and you'll want to handle it very carefully to dispose of the creature. Now, the traps, since you may not have the ability to get more of them, you may need to wash and clean those traps, sanitize them, and then reset them, use them again. And there's a variety of different traps out there. The other thing you can consider, too, is using some of the bait. Both baits the mice and the rats. They ingest things that will make them sick and die, and or they cause them to internally hemorrhage and bleed, in which case they do in fact die. These are not, I think, this isn't necessarily the kindest thing to do, but we have a responsibility to our household, to our families, to protect us from getting sick from these guys, and we've got to take care of them. Now, we have some very natural approaches that we can take that's a little more of, I guess, what nature does. You might want to get friendly with some cats and have these cats keep them down. Cats in our area where I'm in a rural setting, I have three cats around me, and they do a good job of keeping them cleaned up. Of course, you do know a cat sometimes will bring the prize back, you know, the body to lay on your doorstep right there, you know, half gnawed on, and it's like, yeah, thank you very much, but I know you're doing your job. You don't have to show me. However, dispose of those things. But the cats will take care of them. One of the things about cats is they can, in fact, become sick, you know, dealing with these animals, and that can be a problem. Then the cat brings disease to you if you're trying to have a house cat. Our cats are all barn cats. They're all outside cats. They're not lap cats. So we're less likely to have a problem with them. We just maintain the cats and help take care of them and let them do the mousing for us. Other things that you're going to have in your environment will be roaches, flies, mosquitoes, and other kinds of creepy crawly bugs that can get in and contaminate things, and some of them may in fact spread disease. Flies, mosquitoes, and roaches are the worst ones of all because of where they may be and what they leave behind. So you have to keep them out. This means keep your foods covered and closed, as well as look at ways to suppress them. When our infrastructure breaks down, very often we don't have the spray programs going on, so we're going to see an increase in some of these critters. It'll now be your responsibility to take care of them more after this break.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Jim Phillips back again on our topic today, which is the second part of sanitation. Here again, if you've just joined us, I encourage you to go back and listen to previous programs. And if you missed the first hour of this program, here within a few days, it'll be up in the archives at RBN. You can listen to this entire series of programs that I have been doing. Again, if you have questions, you can send them to email them to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. Or you can send a voicemail message, toll-free number, 888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U-GET-SET. The website is preparemyfamily.com. And one of the things you may want to do in the series that we have, which is the Self-Reliant Family Series, the number one DVD in that program is available to you for the cost of the delivery of it, which is $5.50 to get that in your hands. 2 hours of principle-based discussion and presentation. And I've been presenting all of these things here on the air. If you can't even afford $5.50, go back and listen to these things for free. We want you to have the information. It's important that we prepare our households and help people around us prepare. We're talking about the control of vermins and pests, one of the worst ones of all, of course, being the mice and the rats. And those are fairly easy to understand what to do about them. But another one to consider is these insects. Roaches, flies, mosquitoes. The crawling ones that'll get into the house, the roaches being one of them, you can suppress them and keep them down in a very natural way that's not going to be toxic. I don't like the, personally, I the pesticides and these poisons and things. I've done enough research on them to know that if you're around that stuff very much, it's a problem. There's unrefutable evidence of spraying this stuff all over the place over a period of time is a serious health risk. At least that's my opinion. So here's something you can do that's totally non-toxic to you, but yet is toxic to the insects over a period of time. It's not an instant killer, but that's using the proper grades of the diatomaceous earth. We talked about that briefly in the water area, using it as a filter. Now you've got to get the really the ones that are designed for roach and insect killing, and you can find those things in the garden sections. I would want to get them that don't have any kind of additive to them. It's just the pure diatomaceous earth, because you can eat the stuff. If it gets in your food, it won't be a problem. Now, it's a very fine dust. It's a silica dust, and you don't want to be breathing that dust over a period of time. That is a problem causing a silicosis in the lungs. But other than that, if you eat it, I mean, if you had some in the corner in a cabinet, and if a kid crawled in there and was tasting that white powder, it's not going to make him sick from the diatomaceous earth. The insects that crawl through it will be injured by it, and if they crawl through it very many times, or as they take some of that powder away with them, here's what happens. These are little, it's kind of like shards of glass, little splinters of glass, microscopic in size. Insects that have this exoskeleton, they have joints where the body parts connect and where they move. And here you have some softer tissue. And as they crawl through this dust, they pick up some of those little shards of glass, or kind of like little shards of glass, and they get them in these joints where they rub and they grind and they will poke holes. They literally break through those membranes, and the insect will dehydrate, bleed to death, in essence, is my understanding of how this works. So it's a mechanical kill for them. There are some. This diatomaceous earth is used in animals, veterinarian-type settings, where it's given to animals to help control internal intestinal parasites that may be in them. If it's good for a horse or a cow, then I guess it probably won't hurt a human if you had it in your food and around you, so it'd be safe to consume. I know one individual that he takes it daily. I think he takes like a tablespoon a day. He's been doing this for many, many years, consuming it. It will not hurt you, and the soft tissues in the body, they will be flushed through, but it can be apparently hard on some of the small parasites that would be inside of you. I don't have any personal experience having done that. I've consumed it. I've mixed it in water and drunk it just to be sure that I was satisfied. It tastes like chalk. It's kind of like mixing chalk and water and drinking it. And no ill effects that I saw, but I can't tell you to the efficacy of killing off anything, but I do know that it has been used for animals for a long period of time. Other things to consider about keeping your environment clean is, how are you going to wash things? Well, you can have a portable wash basin or sinks or buckets or those types of things, but if you're in your home, of course, you can just simply use the wash basins and sinks that you have. Be careful about where that drain water goes. If you have a sewage system breakdown and you shouldn't be putting anything down those lines, then be careful about that. Dispose of it elsewhere. In fact, this gray water from washing hands and dishes and taking baths, if you don't have your water coming to your house in a normal way, you'll really want to capture that stuff and put it on your plants and on your grass. They will appreciate it. Now, here's a topic that I think is extremely important. It's one of these things that most people don't know much about. I hinted to it earlier, and that is about bar soap. A lot of people would have, you know, bar soap in storage and think you're doing a great job of sanitizing and cleaning if you do that, and the answer is you're really not. These bar soaps, which are built around, well, let's talk about how the early soaps were made. It was made with what? Rendered fats from an animal. And then you got lye, which came out of wood ashes out of the fireplace. And that's what you literally use with those ingredients. And this uses the the fatty acid ammonia from the fats with the lye to make this gelatinous kind of a thing that will help break down some fats and oils and wash them away, but it doesn't do anything really for killing much of anything. As a matter of fact, the biggest problem you have with your bar soaps is if you look at them under a microscope, if you look at the soap that's being used, literally bacteria can breed and feed on it. It's not a disinfectant. Bar soaps do not disinfect anything. What they do to help you stay clean is, and to reduce potential infection, is that the soap will break down the oils and the dirts and things that are on the skin, on the hands, or on the body, and help flush those things away and thereby carry away some of the bacteria and contaminants that may be there. But that bar soap, after you've washed your hands and you set it out, it'll have bacteria on it that will not be killed, and when the next person comes along to wash with, they potentially can pick those things up. Now, ideally, they may be flushed and washed away, but you can't be sure that that's going to happen, so a bar soap can literally spread disease. Now, how? Suppose you said, oh my goodness, I got six cases of bar soap, how are we going to use it? Let's consider the alternative that's better to use, and then we can make our bar soap perform something like that. If you take a detergent like a dish soap, or if you take a liquid hand soap, and here's a couple of things about them. Number one, if they are a detergent base, the bacteria will not live in them. If they're soap based, the bacteria can live in them, but if they're in a squeeze bottle or a pump bottle, you're not going to be directly contaminating the contents. So that's one of the things you can do with your soap. If you say, I've got soaps, I need to use them, you could take and, I'll say, shave them up, scrape them, sliver them up, get them in some hot water, dissolve them into kind of a very thick slurry that you could then put in a hand pump or in a squeeze bottle, and you could squeeze it out. This way you're not contaminating the soap that's in there. But if you contaminated it when you put it in there because it was on a dirty surface or your hands were contaminated, now you've just seeded those things in there. You're actually better off just using the liquid detergents in their original containers, because that way you don't have a chance of passing on contamination from one person to another. So consider bar soaps. Handle them carefully. One way of reducing the spread of a disease would be if everybody had their own covered soap dish, and if you used it just with you and you didn't share bars of soap, that would be another strategy that would reduce the potential for spreading illness from person to person that could be on a bar of soap. So there's some things to consider in keeping you and your household safe so you can stay clean, keep your environment clean, and not pass on bacteria, viruses from one person to another. The favorite thing, of course, I like to have in storage are the liquid detergent cleaners, because bacteria and viruses don't live in them very well at all. There's no food in there. In the case of the bar soaps and the liquid soaps, there's fats in there that the bacteria can live on. Other things to keep down the spread of disease and contamination is disposable things. Now, you can only do so much of this, but in the beginning, the kind of like expedient water and expedient shower. I call it a shower in a box. You know, the baby wipes you talked about earlier, that's what I call a shower in a box. You can do the same kind of a thing with eating utensils, with plates and cups and spoons, where for the first, I'll say, few days or short period of time, you can be using things that are disposable. That way you're not having to wash and worry about those things. It's impractical to do that for extended periods of time because, number one, you have to buy a lot of them and have them. Where do you store them and keep them? And then you're not recycling them, so you're throwing them away, and then you have trash to deal with. Now, if they're paper products, like the paper plates and the waxed paper cups, those things can be burned up very nicely, particularly in the winter if you had, you know, a fireplace or a wood-burning stove or something like that. That's a great place to burn them, and you're now getting the energy out of them, and you're killing off the contaminants that would be on them. Other things, of course, to have in your storage that fall into the disposable area include things like, well, the very obvious one, toilet paper and paper towels and Kleenex, Ziploc bags, trash bags, those kinds of things you would want to have in your storage. The large trash bags are very, very useful to have to either keep dirty things separate from clean or clean things separate from dirty. Talk a little more right after this.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Hello, this is Jim Phillips continuing this afternoon with this discussion on sanitation and many of the issues in keeping you and your environment clean so you don't become sick or pass illness on to other people. As you see, there's many of these kinds of products, and some of these things are so easy to get, and you can just get them into storage, have them on hand. Is Ziploc bags and these little reclosable bags are extremely useful to have in keeping clean things clean. You know, we use them right now for our food and stuff like that, but it can also keep, you know, bandages and first aid things. You can, you know, open them and reclose them. And once you've opened up some of your, you know, cans, bottles, boxes of things, not necessarily food, but other things, it's a way of keeping them clean and dry and yet having access to them. Nice things to have in your storage. The detergents for washing your clothing, of course, we mentioned those things, and the personal wipes, all of these things, kind of revisiting a few things here, because it's all how you keep your environment clean. You know, you can buy these countertop wipes. not good to put on your body. Don't be trying to bathe with those things. But they would be useful for keeping surfaces clean. And again, from an expedience standpoint, that's a great place to start because you don't have to do anything. You just pull it out of the container and wipe things down. Now, once you've consumed all of them you've had stored, then you'll want something that's recyclable. And this is where, of course, having your washcloths and rags and those things available and then using either detergent solutions, which do a pretty good job of cleaning, but they don't sanitize very well. Something, of course, that'll sanitize fairly well are the chlorine-based products. Now, you think about having the chlorine bleach in storage, and that's a good thing to have for a while, but please understand this. The liquid chlorine bleaches, and I would just buy the ones that are just a very simple bleach. They don't have colors, flavors, fabric softeners, or whatever else they put in them. It's just a very simple bleach. They're cheaper that way. They do have a shelf life. They do age. They do become weaker over a period of time. And after they've been stored for a year or two or three, depending on temperature and where they're stored, the solution is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. But you can tell if you've got a good, strong bleach because, you know, it has that very strong chlorine smell to it. You can make a washing solution with those things, diluting that in water, and then use that on surfaces. Now, here again, chlorine is not necessarily good for the body, so you'll want to handle it carefully. Use protective gear on, rubber gloves, disposable gloves, so you're not handling it all the time if you're washing down countertops, and also use it in a very well-ventilated area. If you're in a very tight, a very small, tightly contained space, the chlorine gas that comes off there is not good for you. As a matter of fact, it was used during World War I to kill soldiers. Chlorine gas is very, very toxic. Here's, and if you're going to store the chlorines, you can get a dry chlorine bleach that will store very long periods of time, as long as it's kept dry in its original container. So you might look for a dry chlorine bleach. Here's another thing that you can do. You can use the calcium hyperchlorite. We're talking what the powder that you put in a swimming pool or in a hot tub. That's used as a sanitizer to sanitize that water, so you can buy those things. It will store for extended periods of time because it's dry. Keep it dry, keep it cool, and you have something that will store for many, many years. Go to a pool supply or to a hot tub supply, store, and you can buy that. Now you can produce a chlorine wash that will sanitize surfaces, and you can use it as a rinse to clean up a lot of things. But something that's even safer to use than chlorine is using a quaternary solution, which is an ammonia. You can buy these in restaurant supply stores because in restaurants, to wash the dishes or to rinse the dishes in, they use an ammonia wash. One of them that you can get, it's a Steramine, which is a little tablet. One tablet per gallon of water makes a solution that when you rinse your dishes, it will kill everything that's on it. HIV and everything else, it's known to kill those things. You could use it on countertops. You could use it to sanitize surfaces, even floors, if there was something that became very, very contaminated with something. This would be what you could use, and the ammonia is not as toxic to the body as the chlorine is. Chlorine's much harder on your body than ammonia is. So that's an alternative for you to consider using. Something else that would be a reasonably safe compound to use, we talked about this in water and in some of the others, and that is the grapefruit seed extract or citricidal. Citricidal is another name for the extract that comes out of the grapefruit seeds. And here you have something that's a great sanitizer also. The advantage of the grapefruit seed extract, also known as GSE, you can see it in the brand name of Nutrabiotic, you'll get it in health food stores, is it has multiple purpose uses. You can use it as a surface sanitizer and cleaner and wash. It will do that. It's, I'll say, safe to get on your hands and on your skin. It won't hurt you there. It's actually used as a nutritional supplement to kill back things that may be inside of the gastrointestinal tract. I have personal experience with that in terms of what it'll knock out. Talk a little bit more about that after the break. Not making any claims about what it'll do for you, but I can tell you my personal experience of what I've seen it do and what it might do for you right after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference. Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, Office Max, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
This is Jim Phillips continuing with our discussion on sanitation in Prepare Without Fear, which is what I believe this is all about. We don't want to be afraid of the future by simply preparing ourselves to deal with whatever may be coming. We're talking to you a little bit about this grapefruit seed extract and its multiple uses. It will work as a surface sanitizer. It can get on your hands. It is, if it's... on a surface that's a food contact surface, it's going to be, you know, safe to have there. It's used as in a supplement. My experience with it has been when you have a food poisoning that's occurred, you know, and you've got the, oh, man, you're turning inside out, the cramps and the diarrhea, the nausea, the sweats, and all those kinds of things. I'll tell you what, if you'll put three or four drops of grapefruit seed extract into a short glass of water, like an ounce or two, stir it up and slug that down, it takes those things out. I've had that happen to me twice. There's one product that's called the Traveler's Friend that if you had contaminated water, potentially contaminated water, you put like 3 drops of the, again, the grapefruit seed extract into that water, let it set, and it'll kill anything that's in there. Now, the disadvantage of taking this stuff in water, swallowing it down, is it's very bitter. It's really, it's tough to take, as a matter of fact. But it's better than getting sick and being injured by these critters. So I like to find things like that that have multiple uses. Clean surfaces, help take care of water, might even be used internally in some cases. And that's the advantage of a thing like that. By the way, I just remembered, or actually I went online on thestuffoutlet.com to look up the name of that plunger washer. It's called a rapid washer. It's been known as a jet washer also, and you can see a picture of it there and what it will do to how you can use it to wash clothing with. Something else that you might have in your storage that will store for long periods of time to make a sanitizing solutions would be the iodine and crystalline iodine. That's much harder to find nowadays because how it's being misused and producing illicit drugs, and that's very unfortunate. But iodine is, in fact, a killer of bacteria and viruses. If you have access to it, you can use it, but use it very carefully. Like chlorine or other things, it is a toxic substance. Used carefully in small quantities, and it will take care of bacteria and viruses. One thing about iodine is, though, that it does, in fact, stain surfaces. You have your rubbing alcohols and ethyl alcohol. These are sanitizers. Remember my caution about not getting rubbing alcohol on the skin. Hydrogen peroxide, now there's a good cleaner. It actually does an excellent job because of the high oxygen content. It's very reactive, and it will kill things. And you can get it on your skin. It'll bleach things, however, so be careful there. You have your betadine wipes, which are iodine-based. You have some chlorine-based wipes, and you can get those in small individual packages as well as in large boxes. And some of them, there's even pop-up ones you can use, but you have to go through them very quickly. You like to have them in the individual package because you just tear it open and use it, and things don't dry out or don't evaporate. The alcohol preps and things like that. Other sanitizers, and you can read up on these using vinegar and using liquid ammonia. These are also quite effective cleaners and sanitizers. They're not extremely powerful poisons, but they will really help keep things cleaned up and sanitized. And here again, they're not toxic. Vinegar and ammonia have been around for a long time, and they do a good cleaning and sanitizing job. You can, of course, store and have some of the aerosol sprays and other liquids that have some very powerful Lysol-type cleaning ingredients in there, but you have to be a little more careful about how, when, and where you use them because these are toxic to people, getting them in food contact surfaces and things like that. Disposal of trash and garbage is something to consider. If you have a way to burn the paper and the cardboard things, that can be a fairly nice way of doing it. It just has to be done carefully and in the right way so it won't contaminate the environment. In other ways, if you're in a more rural setting and you have wood-burning stoves, that can be a great way to dispose of those things. Even a trash barrel for open burning can be useful, but be very careful about flame and fire and sparks and those kinds of things, because you get a fire going and you don't have infrastructure to knock it down, you've got a big problem. So you must use wisdom and care, but you can burn some items. Others you're simply going to have to dispose of by burying them, by covering them. The challenge you have with plastic kinds of things is they don't break down very well. And the contaminants that are in plastic bags and plastic plates and cups and things like that, that plastic isn't going to go away for a long time, and we really don't want trash blowing around in the surface. So you're going to have to look at options of how you dispose of your own trash. One of them that's very serious to handle is diapers. If you have disposable diapers in particular, kind of the typical way of moms to get rid of a diaper now that's been used and it's, loaded up with something you want to get rid of, they have this plastic covering on the outside. So you kind of roll it into a ball and tape the tape over top of it, so now you have this plastic on the outside, and you got this prize down inside. it's not going to go away for a long time. Disposable diapers actually need to be treated very much like the rest of the human waste, where you open them up and you get that contents down into the soil, covered deeply in the soil, where it can break down, and then the plastic covering can be thrown away. But speaking of diapers in the long term, here's something that a lot of people don't have experience with now in our society. We did with our children when they were, our oldest ones were young, we're talking 40 years ago, and that is there were not many disposable diapers. They started coming in with our second and third child, where they were becoming more common. We had cloth diapers with rubber pants that you recycled and reused. And that's actually what you want to have. If you're dealing with infants, you've got to have something that you can reuse, because just how many disposable diapers do you think you can store, and for, you know, how long? It'd take up a lot of space. So the cloth diapers that can be reused, sanitized and reused, and the plastic rubber pants to go over top of them is what you'll want to be putting into your storage to keep going. Here again, you have to have a way to wash them, you have to have a way to clean them and sanitize them, and you're going to have to practice up on that. That's not a common thing nowadays. We used to have the old diaper pail. You know, you put them in there and let them accumulate for a day and a half, and then you went and took care of them. Well, that's something most people don't do nowadays. The other thing to consider in your disposal of what you may have, and this is the feminine hygiene products that you may have. Take care of the women with their monthly cycles, disposing of those things. You don't want them floating around on the surface where animals and things would get at them. They need to be disposed of in a way that is secure. And here again, in the soil is probably the best way to take care of them if we don't have our landfills and our way of disposing of them. You've got to get them buried along with your other human waste that's going out. Get things opened up in such a way that they can break down in the soil. The organics will break down. An area of just some miscellaneous things and a number of little things to consider. Something to have that can be extremely useful for protection is plastic sheet. This is a sanitation issue, kind of indirectly. This would be rolls of the construction plastic, the visqueen. I like to buy it in 12-foot wide rolls, 100-foot long, and have that in storage because it has multiple uses. And duct tape. These are also sanitation kinds of things. You may have a number of things that are large to dispose of. And let me, I don't want to be insensitive here, but I have to deal with things just straight up. If you have a major catastrophe, there can be a lot of loss of life. That will be both four-legged and two-legged. And you may have to deal with those things. That may be a very unpleasant thought. That's something we don't want to consider. But you know what? Reality is reality. It happens around the world. It's happened before. It'll happen again after earthquakes, tsunamis, fires, whatever it is, man-made, you know, disasters, as well as some of these natural cause things. There may be, in fact, people that did not survive the event, and they have to be dealt with. And if you don't have the aid that's coming from the outside, if we have the aid, if we have the National Guard, the Red Cross, and, you know, the infrastructure to take care of them, then please, let's help them take care of those things, get out of the way. But if you're on your own, what are you going to do? Consider these things. One of the things you may have to do is you're preparing the disposable, of whether it's animals or others, and you can't get holes dug, you know, quick enough to take care of them. You may need to wrap them up and seal them up in plastic. And 4 mil plastic sheet or 6 mil plastic sheet, along with duct tape to tape things up. Now, if we're dealing with people, please be sensitive to this. Please identify. They may have information that's with them. You may want to capture those things, make note of it, because when the system comes back and when people come back, records would want to be found. This is both to be sensitive to survivors, but it's also to be sensitive to a system that's going like, where do these people go? And so there'll be a little bit of a responsibility there to take care of it. And if you choose to just ignore it and not do anything, you've got a real problem when, you know, animals are on the surface, and if there's a lot of them, now you have flies and you have vermin, you have other things that can potentially spread disease. And that's why, even though it's an unpleasant topic, we may need to be involved in that elimination. So plastic sheet and duct tape can be useful for that, for temporarily. wrapping the bodies up so they can be handled more easily and more safely without spreading contaminants, and certainly without having to deal with something that gets to be very ugly after a while. Also, plastic sheet can be used to cordon off areas within a house. Let's say that you have people that are sick and you have a room where they are. You can build little tents inside of the house. And when I say a tent, it's drapes that go around an area, seal it off with tape and with staples, so that you have people that are more cordoned off and their coughing and their sneezing does not spread to the rest of the environment. And if you have a door, you may have a door. You say, well, I've got a door on this room going in there. What you need to do is have a double door, so that you don't just open up that door to the outside, and then if somebody sneezes right out the door, now it's out the door. So you have a door, and then inside you make a curtained-off area that you have to go through so that you can go in, you yourself covered up with clothing that would be appropriate. You may have on your masks and your rubber gloves and those things, going in to help a family member who's very, very ill. You can open up the door, go into that area, close the door, and then you can open up to go inside. It's kind of an airlock. This keeps you from getting spreading, contamination, spreading sickness into other areas. These are very serious topics to consider, but I want to address them briefly here. Okay, rolls of plastic sheet, duct tape, and a staple gun to staple things up. Of course, it's also useful in other areas, which is windows and doors to the outside that may have been damaged, and now you can seal up the winter winds from blowing through your house. So multiple uses. Cat litter is a useful thing to have, again, to absorb nasty spills, or if somebody loses their lunch on the living room rug and you don't have the wet vacuum and those things to use, then absorbing the fluids and getting it into a dry mass is useful. So cat litter is a nice thing to use. You can also use things like sawdust, and cedar sawdust is a nice one because it smells good, too, if you have access to it. Be sure that you have non-electric ways of cleaning and sweeping. So this is dustpans and brooms and carpet sweepers that are non-electric. Your rags that you have right now, you produce your own rags. You have a sheet that gets kind of worn through in pillowcases. You don't want to use it anymore. Don't throw those things away. Clean them, wash them up, fold them up and put them into boxes and just tuck them away someplace. You can really hide them in the attic or in sheds or out of the way. And we have boxes of old sheets and towels and things that are kind of raggedy. But now you've got your rags. When you run out of your paper towels and things like that, you've got something that you can use. And you may have to recycle them if we're talking extended periods of time. By the way, here's a topic in this bits and pieces area that people go like, okay, storing toilet paper is obvious. What do you do when you run out of toilet paper? Well, let's take a look at what other societies have done and may be doing right now. Other things you can have in storage to take care of that issue of keeping the body clean. One of them is that's a free thing most people have, and that's, well, newspaper. Newspaper works fairly well. It's not the ideal, but it's certainly better than the old, my mother jokes about these things, the old Sears catalog, with the slick pages. Not to be insensitive, but newsprint's a better thing to use, by the way. It's a little more absorptive. Newspapers are also useful. You take a look at a newspaper that hasn't been opened up and spread around a lot. It's actually fairly clean. It's not, sterile, but it's fairly clean for outer dressings over wounds or things like that. It can actually be used is a part of absorbing fluids like around temporary diapers and things. Not the best thing to use, but store your old newspapers. Put them in boxes, tuck them away. I don't store the colored print, and you certainly don't want the slick advertising things. Those things you just get rid of now, but it's the newsprint would be the better thing to use. The other thing that you're going to use your rags for, and if you'll consider what people in bygone years did for the toilet paper, actually you had several rags, and you would, in fact, wash those things and clean them, just kind of like the diaper, the cloth diaper you're going to recycle. Well, there's some of your rags. Here's something you can do to extend the use of your toilet paper, where you might take your first use of it, and that's something that you would throw away, and then you would use your cloth and your rags to finish off the job, because you wouldn't have as much to clean up and to sanitize. These are all things you need to consider to extend the use of the resources that you have. Let's talk about keeping other things clean as we're running out of time right here. There's so much to talk about. And protecting things, particularly from vermin. You know, your coolers that you have is a great place to put foods or things, not that you're trying to keep them cool, but something that's already been opened. You put it into your plastic coolers, and they are now fairly secure from vermin to get in there. Metal cabinets and file cabinets. I went out and I visited some people that live for extended periods of time in a tent. They set up a tent. They lived in a tent for 2 years in a very cold part of the country in our area here. One of the problems they had, they talked about, that I figured would be a problem. I just never lived in a tent for 2 years, and that was mice. And they found that by using metal file cabinets and metal cabinets, they could put their food in there that keep the mice down, and then they got friendly with cats so that they didn't have the mouse problem. The plastic grocery bags you get at the stores, don't throw those away. Keep them. They are useful. Now, they're not watertight, liquid-tight. Most of them leak, but they're very useful to carry things in, dispose things, keep clean things clean, and contaminated things away. But you can also weave it into rope, and you can knit it into all kinds of things, crochet it, so the plastic bags are useful. You just cut a corner out of a box and just jam them down in there. You can stuff a lot in a box, and it'll help you a great deal. A little bit more right after this break.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back for the last few minutes of Prepare Without Fear on this beautiful winter day. I'm your host, Jim Phillips. Again, if you have any questions you'd like to email to us, it's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. Leave your voicemail messages at 888-YOU-GET-SET. Our primary website is preparemyfamily.com. Be glad to help you any way that we possibly can. I appreciate the folks at RBN for putting this program on. And where you have an archive of these past programs, you can listen to the first part of the sanitation program. The first 2 hours of it was done last week. You'll find that online, and all the previous programs are there. And certainly do appreciate the work that they do. Well, at this point, as we're finishing up, is there any doubt that sanitation truly is a preparedness parachute? Something, if you don't take care of, just like not having a parachute when you fall out of a plane, you're just not going to survive the experience of you'll go through the fall just fine. It's just that stop at the bottom that's the problem. And it's the same thing with sanitation. If you don't take care of the issue beforehand and prepare yourself, the consequences can be very, very deadly. Now, something that ties in, you'll start to see how these things all start to link and tie together as we go through the other areas of provisions. Do you see how sanitation actually ties in with water? Because isn't having sanitized water a part of the whole issue? I made the point that more people die from dysentery diarrhea than anything else on Earth right now, and it all comes almost exclusively from contaminated water. So having a way to sanitize water, that is with heat or with chemical or filtration, is an important part of all of this too. So you'll start to see how these things are linking together and tying together as we go along. Become preparedness. Become preparedness because you try things and you test yourself. Have fun with it. Play with it. Do some of these things regularly. Try something out. Don't just buy something and put it in storage and say, I'm prepared. You have no idea if you're prepared unless you've used these things. You gain the experience so that you have the confidence and knowledge that things would be fine. You make it a part of your lifestyle, and you do it for all the good positive reasons. Keep in mind that the key principles we talk about is the first law of survival. It's all about luck, laboring under correct knowledge, L-U-C-K, laboring under correct knowledge. The second law of survival is CPR, something you have to learn and do now. CPR stands for courage, patience, and resourcefulness. It's not just about me giving you a list of things. If you notice, I don't give you a list, but I teach you why these things work and why where they fit into the program. You may have to go find some of your own brands and things that work for you develop that preparedness from the inside. You develop your own list for your situation. The law of freedom is about eliminating fear so that you can be free, and freedom is this, that it's impossible to fear anything for which you have true and complete knowledge, or in John 8:32, and the truth shall make you free. It's about the parachute that I've mentioned all the time. You have to have a parachute before you really need it. You have to have it on when you need it. You have to know how to use it. You have to actually use it, and it has to be of life-saving quality. That's how a parachute works. The law of provident living is, and that's how your provisions for your emergencies work like parachutes. The law of provident living is spiritual, attitude, knowledge, and stuff in that order of priority. We've been going through the preparedness parachutes, which is clothing, water. We've now finished sanitation. We're going to number 4 next week, which is special needs and some of those other areas. And then the long-term things, which is clothing, water, sanitation, nutrition, shelter, wellness, tools, and supplies. We'll be talking about all of those things so that you can remember this statement I say, the truth about life is there's no doubt that tomorrow will come and there's no dispute that things happen, but how you're prepared to meet tomorrow will make all the difference in the world. If you're prepared for the worst, then no matter what happens, it will be an adventure. Jim Phillips, see you next week.